लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today we are going to China to meet an Australian-Canadian actor with a Russian name. Okay, so we kind of mix the cultures today, but it's fine. I'm also kind of culture mix, so I'm totally fine with that. And for me, it's in the morning. For him, it's late afternoon, and I'm happy to finally meet him. We don't talk about the ongoing before the meeting. So I say hello to China and hello to Alex Pickton. Welcome to my podcast, finally.
Thank you, Michaela. Lovely to be here. I know we've had a couple times trying to arrange this. Entirely my fault. But we've fixed it.
I'm fine. Here.
Excited.
You know, the best comes at the end. Okay, now it's on you. Maybe sometimes a person is worth to wait. So you have now round about 1 hour to show me that you were worthy waiting.
Man, it's getting hot.
No pressure.
Here.
No pressure. No pressure.
I'm good. Let's go.
So we talked about that you are in China. I assumed you're living in China because I think you did recently a lot of verticals in China. Do you know exactly how many?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but especially because they staggered the release of a lot. So, exact number, I'd have to go through and go through like my photo album. But yeah, quite a few.
So every actor and actress I spoke with who recently did verticals in China told me that the shooting days are there much longer than the normal shooting days in the US and anywhere else. So are you kind of Chinese workaholic now? Or
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be, I think just for anybody coming out here, you have to be a team player. And what that means is like making concessions along the way. In the West, there's just that It in a way can be a good thing, but a bad thing where it's just very much like, no, these are the hours that I'm here for. I start here, I end there, and that's that, which is fair. But when you see how hard everybody else is working over here, it's kind of like it's looked favorably upon if you can just like, you know, hey, do you mind just going a little bit further on this? We're almost there. We turned into 20 hours and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, every show is different, though. I have to make that clear.
So you didn't sleep so much in the last month or what?
Oh, maybe last 8 months. Some shows do have gone like 22 hours. I have done one of those, and that just sets the whole, and that's day one, by the way, and that's just everything. But the other shows have come in under time, so you're like, oh great. It just honestly depends on the director, the story, the production, a lot of variables.
What makes you so addicted doing verticals in China?
Opportunity is honestly it. Other places have it, but again, maybe they don't have the volume. And it honestly depends on what story they're telling. I think over here, what they shoot, I think I just match maybe what they're looking for. And so it's provided a great opportunity for me.
So when did you do your first vertical in total?
First one was in Australia in Sydney, and it was 2024, and that was Pregnant by the Billionaire for Real Short.
Was it
And I
beginning or end of 2024?
it came out, I think, at the end of 2024, but shot like around maybe June, July.
Okay. And do you know round about how many verticals you've done so far in total?
Including those that haven't been released, I think maybe mid 20s, upper 20s, something around there.
And when you take a look back at your first shooting and then your
Yeah.
last one, what has changed?
Paycheck.
That's always good. Hopefully raised.
Absolutely.
Hopefully
Absolutely.
raised.
You would hope so, right?
Yes.
I think, honestly, I think it's not necessarily in the outcome. So it's not something that the audience would see. It's internal. It's my process. I remember coming into the first vertical very much feature film, TV focused. Like I've got to like f have every single thing set, understand. But now I understand the machine. I understand how it operates. So I don't need to stress about how am I going to get to the place. How am I going to get to the emotion that's two scenes away? Nowadays, it's like I've already been there so many times. I trust my instrument that if I'm relaxed, I'll be able to get to where I need to go for the next scene and the scene after that, even if they're polar opposites on the emotional spectrum, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for me, absolutely.
Good.
And did you do other stuff since you started doing verticals, or are you so full of vertical shows shooting that you don't have time for other stuff anymore?
I'm to the brim in verticals, yeah. I have filmed a couple shorts during this time, and it was actually funny. A couple weeks ago, I saw a rough cut of one of the short films I did, and a critique I gave myself, and the director actually subsequently agreed, was just certain beats in the short film. It's like if I just let that moment breathe a little longer, and it's not excessive, it's not indulgent, it's just the extra 2 seconds of like allowing a moment to exist in a film invites the audience in. But for verticals, you have to constantly push to the next moment. So if you take too long, the director's gonna be like, hey, speed that up. We don't have time to think about that. But over here, it's like, no, take that time. So it's been really interesting to see that difference.
So you're bad influenced of the verticals?
No. It's just it's about just taking that extra beat before you approach a scene to realize like, okay, this could really use that. But then I also put the blame on the director for not notifying me. And
Okay, so it's good. You can blame
it's
someone.
everything. It's collaboration, it's working together, and every time you do something, you learn.
What were your thoughts after your first vertical shot?
In terms of the final product or the experience?
No, you know, did you know what verticals were when you started shooting your first one?
Yeah, because I'd been approached a few times by companies, and to be fully honest, I turned all of them down because the pay was no way near where I thought it should be. But then it came through at a decent price, and the script to me was like akin to like the Hallmark movies, like the TV movie. And so I was like, I could do this. I audition for this all the time in Canada. So it turned out relatively similar to what I expected. If anything, maybe a little bit better. But then also some moments where I was like, oh, is that how they're going to edit it? That song choice, some editing things where I was like, I saw the potential of what it could be, that it really could be super high quality if it decides it wants to go in that direction.
And were you a bit shocked about the pace which is running in the
Yeah,
shooting?
I mean, when you're auditioning for Hallmark projects, you are, or like even cop procedural shows. So like your NCIS, your CSIs, they're always moving the pace. It's like new information. What happened there? Da 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 da. And to the end of the scene, beat. tagline, like that David Caruso CSI Miami style. So it just felt like a bit of a quicker version than that, of that. So you know, it felt like it was all what I expected it to be.
Okay, so you were comfortable with your first shooting?
And in fact, it was kind of exciting because it's like you're like, oh, there's no break time. It was straight into the next scene. Oh, no one cares that I was crying my eyes out here. I just go straight into this laughy scene. Cool. All right, let's do it.
So a bit of challenging.
But like, it's just an adjustment, and it's fun actually.
So, did you learn in this process exactly of s switching faster your emotions or being faster ready for the next scene?
I've definitely noticed, and I like to talk about this with actors all the time on set, that I can access parts of myself so much quicker just purely through repetition. If you're always going to that place, you're gonna know the things that get you there, but also you're gonna know how to handle things when you can't get there. So it's like it's not just one technique solves it, it's being relaxed so that anything can take you there. And I've definitely noticed that.
Did that also, or is that also useful for your private, Alex? Or have
Ooh,
you
it's
been
interesting.
like this before, also in your private life?
I think when I'm in my personal life, I'm not monitoring it. Like it's unconscious. So
Okay.
like maybe, yeah, no, I don't really use it like that. I become aware of it. Like I like, oh my God, this is straight out of a vertical script. Like I might have that thought, but then like I don't care about that because I care more so about the situation at hand, whatever.
Yeah, but sometimes I think if you're playing different ki type of characters, sometimes things of this character is maybe useful for the private life.
Maybe just when like if I want to disturb people in a room go that's enough like who the fuck is
So you didn't get the bank account of your playing billionaire
no
CEO for
not
private? No?
yet not
Okay.
yet soon I'm trying to track that
Yeah, you can. Maybe you
aspect.
can, if you're playing the next CEO billionaire, maybe you can make some money transactions to your private bank account.
I think it'd be smarter than that. You send it to a different account, otherwise one with your name not attached.
Maybe.
Oh, that's information I heard. I did. That's not my personal.
No?
Cut the episode,
We
Gaylor.
are
Cut
out now. It's going to the above
That was a
informations.
fantasy hypothetical.
The fairy tale vertical stuff.
Yes,
We are talking
exactly.
only about the fairy tale vertical stuff.
Absolutely, it is all. It was just telling lies to each other. That's all.
That's what a vertical is. Come
Correct.
on. Hey, come on. To be honest, when I'm seeing the shows with the whole professor student stuff, are
Yes.
you kidding me? Are
Oh
you
God.
fucking kidding me?
Sorry. Check her phone. We got 40 episodes. Student teacher. This woman stick.
When you are a prof at the university, it's so ridiculous to watch shows like this.
Yes.
Happy that my students, I think mostly of them don't know verticals, so that's
Maybe we
not
should
open
keep
for
them
discussion. Yeah.
connected.
Maybe. But
Okay.
the same part is, when my dad was in the hospital lately, and when I was wandering through the hospital, I was always looking for the hot CEO doctor billionaire, but I
Never
haven't
found
found him.
it. Oh.
Shit. Really shit. Sometimes. Do you watch your own verticals?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I try to watch. I
The
haven't
whole
seen all of them,
show?
but I try to. Especially the early ones, the first 10, I remember like intently dissecting and trying to figure out why I think some things work, why I think they don't work. What do I need to like? Where do I need to hit my performance?
Are you critical audience?
Of course, I think I might be the most critical. of others, not
Really?
myself. Of course not. No. Okay.
You are always
Myself.
perf you are
No,
always
no, no.
perfect.
No, back to myself. I said it.
Your acting
Oh,
is not up for
no.
comp yeah, okay, I understand.
No, but I genuinely do enjoy, I actually enjoy critiquing. It's fun for me because I love it so much that it's exciting to go, okay, why did that work? And then why does this moment not work? And then it's not an ego thing on or for anybody else or for myself, but just like it's just fun to explore. Or I've spent too long in acting classes and that's the only way I know how to think. That could be it
Okay, now a question because of that. Is it easy to watch with you any kind of movie? Or are you a kind of stressful
Pain.
friend to watch with?
I think I'd be the one of the easiest. Absolutely one of the easiest.
Really? When you're so
Yeah.
critical?
Absolutely, but there's a time and place. Like I can watch something purely for joy, and then
Really?
I'm also able to dissect it if I want to.
Is that the inner monk you can turn off or what?
Does not everyone not have this ability? I thought everyone could do that. Because I can see it that this is just purely for entertainment. Awesome. All good. Enjoy. But it's like if we want to dissect this, then great, we can do that.
You can really turn that off?
You can't?
No.
Really?
No, that's just a personality, you know what I mean?
What's your experience then? Do you feel like you can just enjoy it all good, or are you decent?
Some things I know before watching because of a trailer or stuff like that it can trigger me, maybe because of some quality or stuff like that. So that would be a bit of maybe exhausting watching for me because I'm so critical. And then I prefer to watch it alone
Right. Yeah.
because I don't want to be so bad mouthing that my friends cannot enjoy it anymore. You know what I mean?
That's yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. So
That's
no
my
watching movies
personality.
then.
No, there are a lot of movies I can really enjoy simple and watch it, you know?
Yeah.
But I have to see minimum a trailer before that I can kind of think about if there is a possibility to watch it relaxed or not.
To like set the expectation.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
And it's not that I don't want to watch all of the movies together with anyone else, but sometimes I just want to be exhausting for them to watch with me. You know what I mean? So
So,
yeah.
we'll
But
try
when
some
I,
of that.
for example, when I'm going to cinema or so, I'm always relaxed.
Yeah.
Then it's, I
Yeah.
think it's the atmosphere then, you know.
Right. You just
Cinema,
disappear into the
popcorn.
chair. And...
Yes. Big screen. And then it's
Oh,
more the, yeah. You know, the funny part, I don't know who with whom I spoke about. Ah, yeah, with Declan. With Declan, was it Clifford? We spoke, his favorite actress is Kate Winslet. And we agreed that Titanic was a really great movie. And I told him that I, when Titanic came into cinemas, I was in Paris. And I watched this movie in a cinema in Paris. And it was the first Dolby surround cinema with nearly a 200 degrees of screen. And for this movie, it was so great. You were sitting in the cinema. And you had the feeling that you were straight on the Titanic and sinking with the ship. The sound was so perfectly for this movie
imagine
there.
the bass and
Yeah.
oh,
And there I was sitting in the cinema, totally fascinated watching it. It
the
was
tears
so.
that you would have had, you would have been crying your eyes out. Oh,
I've never cried in before because of a movie.
What?
And I'm a really
Oh.
non-crying person in life. But for example, I couldn't even cry when my grandma died or stuff like that.
Does it hit you later on?
Yeah,
Like
sometimes yes.
probably. Yeah. Okay.
But it's for another example, I needed, as said, my life is like a vertical. I needed last year, totally unexpected, a heart surgery out of nowhere.
Well,
Walking with my dogs 2 hours later, I was in the ICU. And
oof.
then, yeah. And everyone said, listen, you were near to death. And I was so, yeah, but it's okay. I'm still here. So why should I
Yeah.
cry over this? Because,
Yeah.
I'm more functional than in that case and more realistic one to say, okay, I know that shit. I know that was worst. Okay, so, but that's the situation now. I can make the best out of it, or I can say, okay, that's so shitty. Oh God, that's so bad. But that doesn't change anything. So I'm more the realistic type. Let's say that.
Pragmatic. It's like boom, boom.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I cannot be empathetic to other
Sure.
people. I think it's more, some people
Just for how
say,
you govern yourself.
yeah, I think so. I think it's kind of self-defense also,
Okay.
I think. I haven't analyzed myself yet because I've changed a lot of times, and with the memory losses between, you have to start over from scratch on and to get to know you again.
Well,
And
Mandela picked them, by the way, just in case.
what?
Oh,
What?
damn
What?
it, you lost it again. I said my name is Alex Picton again.
I've recorded it. I can hear it over and over.
Oh God, here we go. But yeah.
No. And to be honest, our past is branded. So I know your name. You can be sure.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
And not in a good way, maybe.
Oh, it's
No.
not in a good way?
Maybe not.
Oh, I
It's
assume
your.
everything's good.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we are fine, Alex. We are totally fine. So when you do verticals, what is important for you? That you do a vertical, or that you
Yeah.
say, yes, I'm in. Call me in. I will do that.
In terms of before I come on board or when I'm in the middle of it.
The whole process. When someone
Okay.
reaches out to you and said, Alex, look, I think I have a new project for you. Will you do
Sure.
it? What's your demands, or what's needed?
Absolutely. So obviously, everybody wants to be a part of a fun story, a cool story. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you get into acting. But then as well, I guess boring part of it is the negotiations. If it's clear communication, if it's easy to get along with people, if you're working with people you've worked with in the past and they're again easy to work with, then you're loving life. We all know people who have just been, unfortunately, a struggle to deal with, or during and after sometimes. And it's like, how is that even happening? Thankfully, I'm on the very, very rarely has that happened, but I speak to some colleagues who, or peers rather, who encounter it frequently, and it just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want professionalism. I want people to do a good job, and I want people to care about it. Because we are going to, in a lot of these stories, like if you're doing it right, emotionally intense and dark places, you're being vulnerable. You're opening yourself up in front of the camera for everyone to see, being thrown around, abused. So you just want some respect and that what you're doing right now is going to be treated well in the edit.
Yeah, and you see that at, from the audience side. You see that exactly
Yeah.
in the end, which role was taken because of the money and because of a free time, or which role was filled and lived in the in the vertical. You see that exactly. If someone could identify with the role and be in it, or if someone was doing just his job, you see that so perfectly in the end.
That I love to hear that. That's what you want is that exact experience, because yeah. Actually, you articulated it perfectly. It's pleasing to know that audiences recognize. Oh, that's what I was going to say. It's because I don't want audiences to associate me with a phoned-in performance. I care. I want people to say, when they see Alex Picton show, oh, I'm going to believe every moment. And where that comes from is when I see the actors I like Christian Bale, for example, every time I watch his movie from the opening scene, boom, I know he's going to blow me away.
Yeah.
Say with McConaughey. And I want that reliable trust.
But that's always, don't you think that you can always give your best, but it also depends on your co-star. If the co-star is not, let's say, motivated to do it, then it's hard to be totally in the role.
Yeah, it's a great point you bring up, because technically there are things you can do still, but you know, for example, if you're doing a scene and you're supposed to be lovers, but the other person's not giving you anything back, like the actual performer, you kind of have to make these like mental gymnastics to be like, why are they acting like that? But that's not what's on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you can't ignore that, but you have to then interpret that as, oh, they're acting like that because they're so confused with the situation. Oh my God. And so you just have to work double the difficulty. But I've been very lucky that pretty much from off the top of my head, most co-stars I work with have been a delight and have been completely cooperative and down to play together.
For me, interesting, I spoke lately to an intimacy coordinator. Are there on sets in China also intimacy coordinators?
I think not not specifically. However, the AD usually will step in and present as one. So there's a lot of times where it's just up to you and the other actor to be, you know, open, honest, and be like, hey, what are you comfortable with? And you work that out together. You bring in the AD and director, say, and there have been times where like you have to step up for each other and be like, hey, we didn't plan on this. You're just throwing this in right before an action call. That's not cool. And there are times where, yeah, you have to say, stop this. No, I'm up. And then have a conversation. Because it moves so fast. If you don't make enough noise, then it might get lost.
Yeah.
You know, that concern might get lost. So, yeah. You just have to hope you're in good hands, like, sometimes.
Have you ever been in a show where it didn't click with someone on set and it was not so comfortable for shooting this vertical?
I don't think I've had one where it showed.
No, maybe sometimes, and I doesn't mean with the other actors and actresses, maybe there are some people on set, crew members, for example, where you thought, okay, I'm fine doing this 7 days, but I'm happy when I'm out over here.
Absolutely. I would say majority of the time, it's everyone's great to work with and it's easy to work with somebody. But there are times, and yet, as you said, it could be a crew member. It could just be an attitude problem. Mm-hmm. Somebody's projecting their own BS out into the set. It might be a person who is not as successful as they would like to be, who's envious and of everybody and throwing these barbs out. It does happen, unfortunately, but not that often.
And I think not really in China, because when I worked with Chinese people, they were all so gentle and so, yes, here, please. Yeah, you're welcome. They were so friendly all the time.
Absolutely. But once you have your interpreter telling you what they're saying, it's like, oh, okay.
So do you speak Chinese now?
我会说一点点中文. I can speak a little, and that's the line I say every time.
But is understanding better?
You know what? In set dynamics, I think I'm getting good. Because although I may not understand the actual word they said, I can understand the context. Because you can piece together words and you apply the situation and you go, okay, I think they mean be here already. And they go, ah, perfect. And you're like, yeah, Songming, smart.
So you said you also shoot in Canada. Did your shootings in LA also?
Not in the USA, no. But yeah, at some
not
point.
Not even New York or Atlanta or nowhere in the US?
There have certainly been offers, but if you're not a US citizen, then that makes things quite difficult.
Okay.
Yeah, so definitely that's something I want to look into is sorting out the visa issue over there. But yeah, if you're not a US citizen or a green card holder, you can't be over there doing those shows.
Okay, and Europe?
Europe, I think, tends to be okay. Well, I'm not sure. We'll see.
No, maybe shootings lately in Italy, there were a lot of shootings.
All right.
London, Great Britain, Lithuania, Ukraine.
I've heard about Lithuania, yeah.
Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to Europe?
Yeah, I'd like to go someday. I mean, Italy sounds great. I mean, who wouldn't want to go there, right?
Great food. Oh, it's all about the food in Italy. I have only 5 hours per car to drive, and I'm in Italy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I live in the south of Germany. I'm in 1 hour in Switzerland or in Austria, in 2 hours in France, in 5 hours in Lithuania, in Italy, or in Czech Republic, or, you know, we are not so big here in Europe.
That gives that proximity, yeah.
No, and I think lately I heard about a lot of shootings in Italy, and the landscapes in Italy, holy moly, Tuscany and stuff like that.
Mm.
But it's cold here at the moment.
Just wait a couple of months, let things heat up.
Okay, just the information for anyone who's thinking to book Alex, he's a non-minus guy, so
for the right price, maybe.
okay, makes sense.
Yeah. I'm open-minded, but yeah, generally I would love a year-long summer.
Why? Have you ever had great snow and really great frosty winter wonderland?
I was born in Toronto, Canada. My first formative years were all the snowy, fluffy.
So types. Why don't you like it?
Then as an adult, I've only had my only Canadian winters were in Vancouver, and it's very gray and miserable. And you get a little bit of snow, but it's the vibe's not great.
But then you cannot say the vibe is everywhere the same shit in winter.
That's why you leave Australia in their winter to get the North American summer. And then
I see you have to give Europe a chance.
I would love to at some point. Absolutely. Would be up for that.
Yeah, I heard the shootings in Istanbul were really great. Everyone I talked to who shot lately in Istanbul was so obsessed with the shooting there. Yeah. And Kirby Elwood, for example, was totally disappointed because every one of her friends were asked to shoot in Istanbul this year. Exceptional her. she's a bit disappointed that she had never had the options to shoot here in Europe. So.
Well, Kirby, I was not invited this year either. So there you go, it's two of us.
I will tell. Yeah, Kirby and I started an idea, and it's getting more and more big and more people getting involved because they are all want to shoot so badly in Europe. For example, Robert Palmer Watkins wants to go back to Europe, and a director. We also, Kirby and I decided, I said, we will do a vertical criminal series. Where every time the same two leads, and Kirby said she wants to be the female lead then,
Nice.
without any question. And then we will do all the five shooting locations in Europe with a new criminal case where the two leads have to solve criminal cases. And one we will shoot in Italy, one in Turkey, one in Lithuania, and we decided to shoot one in Germany and one in Scotland, you know, the Highlands and the
Nice.
mystical, yeah.
Yeah.
And Danny Farber said he's totally in, but he wants to play a really bad villain, not the director. He will direct this one in Istanbul because he already knows Istanbul so well. He directed a lot of there. And Matt Macedo, the director, said to me he directs absolutely everywhere in Europe because he wants to be in Europe also. And I said, okay, no problem. It's all about the money now. And
Right.
I promised I will win the European lottery and then we'll make this happen. So if you want to join also this project,
Throw
it's
me
yours.
in. Throw me in. That's, I think every actor wants to be in that show, Michaela. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I think that's totally great. You know,
It is. It's smart.
six verticals, kind of serious doing, and with kind of mystery criminal cases. Hello?
Exactly. It's like if you follow the format of I can't remember the name of it, but Hallmark has a lot of those kind of series
I love
where
that.
like yeah they'll make like five or six movies a year of the same two leads, but they do a new case each movie. Why not? Great idea.
You know, I think of the view of the audience, there are so many verticals we totally need a second part, but we don't get it.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's so, oh, with these shitty cliffhangers at the end. You're
Yeah.
screaming on your smartphone, really? That's the end? Are you kidding me? No.
I know.
But
It's
Candy Jar, for example, is one of nearly one, the only platform which has more verticals with more than one part. I
Oh,
think
nice. Okay, yeah.
six or seven verticals minimum have two parts. Some of them have three or four parts.
Oh,
And that's
wow.
for the total storyline, so good because one vertical is around about 40, 45 episodes. And with the second or third part, they are so great in the whole storyline. Other verticals have 70 episodes in one with a shit end.
Right.
And mostly of them have the problem, let's call it problem, the first 10 episodes before you hit the paywall, they are so full of stories. Everything happens, kidnapping, raping, miscarriage, slapping, banquet scene, everything happens in the first 10 episodes to hook up the audience to the paywall. And from the 11th episode ongoing, the story is so flat.
That's the format. That's the
That's
format.
shit. That's shit. No,
But
that's why.
probably I would love to evolve and progress that. Hey.
What are your thoughts about when you're reading a script and you read this typical classical tropes, and you think, are you thinking, are you kidding me again?
Yeah, but like I feel like I'm adjusted to that. I expect that. And that thought is not really helpful to me as a performer. Because at the end of the day, my job is to make this believable, make it true, bring it to life. And so every time you have something where, like, okay, that's the same line of dialogue as the last show, or they say the same line of dialogue three times.
Isn't that
Like,
bothering?
yes, but I'm not the writer, I'm not the producer, I'm not the executive. So what can I do? I can present an amendment. Most of the time it's ignored. So what I can do is I can do the actor's job. You fill in what's not on the page. You decide why this line of dialogue is here a second time or a third time. Otherwise, you just throw in the towel and depreciate the show entirely. So you either run
Throwing
with
the
it.
towel. Wait, I have to interrupt. Throwing the towel. How many towel drops did you have in your acting career?
Zero.
You never did in a vertical towel drop? What?
Oh, wait. Are you talking about like throwing the towel as an actor, or my towel actually falling off?
It's accidentally falling off in the show.
Yeah, sorry.
You cannot tell me you don't have any towel drop in was thinking about, because you said you throw the towel, and I said, oh yeah, towel drop, exactly. I saw minimum one of your towel drops in the show.
My apologies. I thought I was giving some substance here. No worries. towel drop.
That's my brain, you know. Sometimes it's switching good. So fast. Sorry.
You're all good. I think at least three. The first show I did had a couple. The Pregnant by the Billionaire. Definitely have one.
Only three? Really?
Yeah. Or, maybe there's more. Maybe there is more.
You didn't want to think anymore about it, huh?
I just thought of one where I open up the robe and I say something. I don't know if I shouldn't spoil this, but a show coming out very soon, I do have a de-robing, and it's very, very towel droppy, let's say.
Okay, and exceptional towel dropping. How often did you propose in every time in your shows?
Exclusively, yeah. I get to set, get to the same grid. Hey, so I was thinking about towel dropping this scene. Cool with that? That. Yeah.
No, you know, for example, I asked Casey Esser. He did, what did he tell me? 51 shows.
Right, wow.
And he had 47 proposal and 20 whatever towel drops in his career. That's why I'm asking.
Those are good numbers. I have to catch up.
That's a competition. No, yes, no, you know, the funny part is nearly in every vertical, the male lead propose. Nearly.
That's right. I'm trying to think of my last one. My last one, I didn't.
You didn't propose? What's wrong with you?
I can't spoil anything about that one. But yeah, no.
You don't want to get divorced anymore and have to pay alimonies to all of your wives or what? Think about how many wives you would have back then.
Oh my goodness.
And how many kids?
Oh, Jesus. This is getting
When I spoke with Kirby, for example, you know, when you talk to the actresses or Kaylin Peluso, for example, I talked to her and she did, I think it was around about 20 verticals and she had 27 kids in these verticals. Quadruplets, triplets. That's our numbers we are talking here. Not about numbers of the audience. We are talking about numbers in the verticals.
Jeez, that's a bloodline. My goodness.
And she is 22, I think. 22 Whoa. And 27 kids.
She's been busy.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm asking, because nearly every male lead had to propose in every vertical they did.
Yeah, I think there are definitely a handful that I can remember of no proposing.
And that's the reason in my criminal series, there won't be a proposing. Mm. And I think no towel drop.
No towel. Well, now I'm out.
Yeah, okay.
You had me at, all right, proposal, but towel drop.
Would you play a villain? Could you play a villain?
In a crime show, I would absolutely love to.
And murderer? The murderer.
Absolutely.
We cannot spill that you will be the murderer, but the murderer.
Of course not. Of course not.
Okay.
Or will I?
Because I cannot imagine that you are a bad one.
Really? Well, isn't that what they say? Like,
you're just
a nice guy next door. And...
That's exactly that the audience said, really, Alex? I didn't thought that he could do that.
I know.
That's good. I
Right,
see.
yeah. I'm already getting ideas and it's scaring me, but it'd
Have
be
you
good.
ever played a bad guy? No.
In vertically speaking, that's a funny way to phrase it. Vertically speaking,
Vertically speaking,
the
that's good.
last two shows I was bad but turned good, so tried to redeem myself, but flat out villain, not yet.
Do you want to play?
Absolutely, but it has to be the right one. I don't want to do some pathetic, loudmouth, yelling kind of guy. I feel like that's
Yeah,
cheap.
more
I want
kind
to have
of psychopath.
absolutely someone who's exercised some skill where you can believe that, yeah, I understand why this person fell, like was didn't see it because this person manipulated them. Use
That's
psychological
good.
warfare. That's more interesting to me.
No, a psycho, a little psychopath, Alex. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't like, for me, I love really great played villains, but I don't like, as you said, villains who are only screaming, raping, and
Yeah.
violating any type of person who come around. I don't like that. But if you see that they are using kind of tricks to manipulate people and stuff, that's more the type I like.
Exactly. And in the weirdest way, that's more terrifying.
Would that be
To me, that's
challenging
more.
for you to get into the role, or how would you prepare for that? Or
Oh, prepare.
is it a natural behavior you have?
Well, I think as an actor, you're always, it's all about empathy, right? Being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, understand
Yeah.
what perspectives. So if you can justify in your mind why someone would do that, not that you personally would agree with it or do that yourself, but you can understand what leads someone to that. So then, as an actor, kind of like a magician, you then find the things that would motivate a similar response in you. So the audience sees this, but you're actually thinking about something else, but then that motivates that darkness. Does that make sense?
And then you listen
Like,
to ta kind of dark music to get the vibe.
yeah, or I just put on Huey Lewis in the news and get my American Psycho Patrick Bateman going on. Hip to be square.
Yeah, I think roles like this are kind of challenging, but I think this kind of roles are the most funniest one.
Absolutely. And you'd want to make sure it's done right. That's the thing. Like on paper, it sounds cool, but you also have to make sure the team and the editing, everything from top to bottom is done intentionally. Because
Yep.
again, the last thing you want to do is think you're doing this cool performance, and then in the edit, you're like, oh, I'm just a clown.
In editing,
Oh,
you got a
geez.
background music.
You're like, oh. And that happens sometimes on like emotional scenes, as I'm sure you've seen and had other actors speak about. They put like this like kiddie piano, like ding dong, as you're like, Mom, don't leave
Yeah,
me.
kind of
And
silly sound effects.
you're like,
No.
like at what point? At what point? And it's like, this is episode 40. Why are
Yeah.
we doing this?
And sometimes on the most important moment when someone offers her feeling or whatever, the background music is so loud that you cannot understand what they are talking about. And you are, hello, I want to hear
I
that.
know.
Can
I
I?
know. This is what I paid for. I paid for this moment.
Yes. But I asked the post-production team I spoke to why this could happen. And they were so, really? It happens? And I said, yeah, I can tell you exactly one video show where this happened. And I know you did the post-production. What was wrong there? And that makes sense. They asked me if I'm watching verticals with earphones in it or not. And I said, yeah, noise canceling earphones mostly. Because sometimes I watch it on the gym, sometimes, well, I was so. And they said they are doing the post-production with loudspeakers in an office.
Really?
And I said, that's shit. Have you ever thought about that? I'm sure minimum 50% are listening to verticals with earphones because they are watching it while they are driving in the bus or in the Uber or whatever. And most of them have noise cancelling, so you hear exactly only what's happening in this scene. And then the music is so fucking loud.
Yeah.
And they said, no, they never thought about it, to be honest. And hopefully, they took my tip. They will change that. Because I thought, I say to them, if it's possible, or if it doesn't make sense for them, to watch nearly one time with earphones what they are post-producing.
Right.
And they said, really? Don't you watch it with loudspeaker? No. I don't. Because we are doing it with loudspeakers in the office.
That's interesting. When I've been to offices, everybody editing has got headphones on.
And the funny, their office is not so big. And I think they're only seeing 2-3 people in the office, you know. And the thing is also, I said to them, you know, when they are doing the post-production, they know exactly which sentence from the script is coming now. And they know what you were saying in the scene. But for me as the audience, I'm not knowing what you are saying in the scene. So I cannot be prepared to understand what you are saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so true. The last thing you want is dialogue audio competing with the score when the score is supposed to support what exists instead of
when compete. I want to hear your breathe in the sentence. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Maybe you are whispering stuff like that. And I have with the big review ladies, I'm doing every month a monthly recap of the recently dropping shows. And we spoke about one show. The storyline was great. The cast was great. But the post-production totally ruined the whole vertical because of bad sound and quality in cuts.
Yeah.
So it depends on so many points that a vertical is really good. As you said, you as an actor want to make the best performance you can for this role. But it's also the same problem. If the storyline is totally shit, you as a great actor cannot rescue the storyline. That's also the same.
It's true. But yeah, everyone just has to deal with it the best they can.
What's a no-go for you in a vertical? What kind of vertical would you decline to do?
Yeah, anything. I mean, I've turned down things which have sexualized violence,
mm-hmm.
And just like completely vulgar and explicit language, which doesn't service the story in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
It's just purely to get like a clickbait, get attention, and at the actor's expense. Because when you're reading the script, you know, okay, this is extreme, so you're going to put it in the trailer. And it's my face saying it. It's not the producer's face. And if people don't watch it, it doesn't matter. They're going to forever associate that with me.
True.
Things like sexual assault, I'm just not down for. I mean, there's a way to tell that story, but it has to be done with like sensitivity and delicacy. I don't know if delicacy is the right word, but being like tender about it, treating it respectfully. Feature films and long form television have that luxury. But in a vertical, when it's so quick, like, oh yeah, that happens, boom, then this happens, boom, then bah, this happens. It's like, ooh, it just seems like a cheap way to get attention.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can't have those story beats. I think you should be able to tell any story, but there's a way to do it, which is respectful to the experience of it, if it makes sense. It doesn't treat it like it's light.
Yeah. For me, for example, in some storylines, like the mafia ones, for example, violation makes sense because it's needed for the storyline.
Yeah.
But if every 2 minutes someone is getting shot and there is all over blood and stuff like that, that doesn't make sense. For me, Sometimes violation is needed for the storyline, but as you said, it has to be told with respect and not by overusing it.
Yeah. Restraint in class. Yeah, absolutely.
What about this shitty, this all we love storylines, this all the love storylines with this BDSM stuff who lately dropped a lot?
Right. So, there was a period earlier this year I kept getting asked by productions to participate in BDSM shows. So I put a poll out to my Instagram to see, do you guys actually want to see this? And 71% of people said yes. And so my thought is, and here's the reason why I always err on the side of caution is, on the page and in discussions, the production might say, listen, it's going to be tasteful. We just want to have like a quick dog collar shot and then like a whip. And I'm like, look, okay, maybe we could work that. But when you get to the set, oftentimes you give an inch, they take a mile. And it's not because they're coming out with like a malicious intent. It might be the producer or the platform goes, you know what? I think we need like a stronger hook here. Could we lower that top just a little bit? Would you mind showing further up that thigh? And it puts actors in really awkward positions because it's like, well, hold on, we didn't agree with this before. I want to help you. I want to make this great. But at the same time, like, and if you're a 20-year-old or just young or anybody, like that's a really uncomfortable position to be in.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I'm completely fine just saying no. Bye. Like if it means we're done, we're done. I'm not doing that.
Even if you would be on a shooting set already?
Yeah. Like if they push, yeah, that can happen all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, like you're literally filming the scene and then they might say, listen, we need more of this.
Did you ever leave a set?
No, but I threatened to on my first one, actually.
Oh, that's good. Directly the firstborn.
Okay. Oh, it's because, actually, no, I didn't outright threaten to leave the set. I just basically, and the crew came up to thank me later, was that I stood up for them when no one else could because their time was being taken advantage of.
Okay.
And, you know, we had been falling onto concrete since the morning without crash mats, and a girl hit her head. And it was just that compounded stuff throughout the day. And it's like, you guys fix this right now or
we're done.
I'm done. And we're like halfway through the show. And that's not, it wasn't like a malicious thing. It was just like, you've taken the piss now.
Yeah.
You're taking it.
Yeah, you know, some type of stories, lines are so... The BDSM is... Yeah, spicy verticals are not bad. But, you know, I spoke with Carrie Donovan, the intimacy coordinator, about it, that how it is when they have to do the BDSM stuff. Because BDSM is its own business. Well, you know, there are own experts about this. And if you're doing a BDSM stuff, my thoughts is exactly like the same with shitty hospital scenes. You have some scenes when it's not realistic plate. Like in hospital scenes, they got the defibrillator on the clothes.
Yeah.
That never works in reality. And I think that in this whole BDSM stuff, if they are doing that in vertical and it's not how it's in reality looks like, it's kind of silly. And I asked the intimacy coordinator how she gets her knowledge about this space. And she said, yeah, she had to contact on herself, maybe some experts, dominas, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because there's mostly no budget to get experts on set. So, and sometimes I watched, I think, 2 BDSM, but you see that the actors were not comfortable in it. And the next point, mostly, always the women are so weak and devoted.
Yep.
Mostly of the verticals transport that the woman cannot survive without a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. women are always weak. Women are always needed to get hooked up that they can live together with the man happily every after.
Highly dependent on the man, yeah. And it's, I think it's one of those things where as we move forward with, you know, greater competition and verticals are spreading around the world, you would hope that for platforms to remain profitable and competitive, that they have to evolve the stories beyond what it has been.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay, we can say we are back again. We had to drop out for a bit because of different issues and reasons. But we are back on track now. And I will ask you again, dear Alex, what do you think, what changes or improvements or new things will happen in 2026 in this vertical space? Or what is needed, in your opinion?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I always like to view it from every perspective if I can. And I think as an industry, it's only going to continue to grow and become more profitable. And so the kind of things that we've touched on before, like creative issues, I don't know if they're going to necessarily be solved in the next 12 months, but I do think that there will hopefully be a bigger emphasis placed on performance and storytelling. And what makes me say that is because you have so many new platforms now. There's so much choice. There are new vertical stars being made weekly. So my question to platforms would be, how do you stay competitive when there's so much competition? Why am I sitting through the paywall of your show when another show who's doing this story better is making it easy for me to say yes to? So I hope it goes in that direction. I just don't know if it's going to happen within 12 months. It might be like a 2-year, 3-year thing. But ultimately, I want verticals to be sustainable. I want them to be long-term. I don't want it to be a fad. But it's hard when it's still profitable. You know what I mean? It's like the issues aren't sinking the ship at the moment.
Do you think this big amount of platforms is good? Do you know how many platforms there are actually?
I think I last counted, I stopped counting, sorry, at 30.
I have only 52 on my phone.
Jeez, okay. 52.
There are around about 120 out there.
Right.
So we have to think for the audience. You know,
absolutely.
The big problem actually for the audience is if there drops a new show, and recently we all have the feeling that with every new show, a new platform drops, you have to pay to watch the show on the platform if you want to see it. And there, for example, let's say there are 30 platforms and every platform is releasing a new show. So for the audience, it's really shit. I cannot say it in another way, because a weekly membership per app is round about 24 euros.
Right.
So if I want to watch a show on a platform, I have to pay this 24 euros. Otherwise, there is a possibility I can pay for coins and watch the show per coins. But if I, for example, watch a show per coins and every episode the coins are getting more and more, you have to pay. A show is round about 60 euros. So
it's like two theater experiences.
Yeah. And it's more than, for example, a Netflix monthly membership. And the thing is, you can watch ads to get coins, but you can only watch, I think, 5 or 6 ads per day to get these coins. And as I said, I'm an Aries. I'm not too patient to watch a show over a week because I cannot. Yeah. When I'm starting watching a show, I prefer to watch it straight from beginning to the end in one. So this coin ad thing doesn't work out for me. So I have to pay for memberships to see a show. And with this big amount of platforms, it's so expensive to watch shows because you have to purchase so many memberships. So I think that's quite a difficult point at the moment. And I would wish for the audience that there will maybe be around about, I don't know, 10, 15 platform in total where all the shows were released.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's a fucking expensive hobby to watch verticals.
Absolutely.
And if there were so many platforms, I think, you know, if every platform gets a little piece of the money cake from the audience, there is not so many potential to grow. Like if you would have been, if there would have been 15 platforms and they're all getting the money from the audience.
That's a great point. It's, I mean, they're all conversations that need to happen with the platform executives. But again, yeah, if they're printing money and if, you know, it's projected to be a $14 billion industry as of 2027, there's no incentive to change.
Yeah, exactly.
No incentive to change anytime soon. So I think the greater control, although something that could be altered, would be creative. But in terms of the business model, I think that's that would be a hard sell to people who are printing money, basically.
It's all about the money.
Yeah. Shit.
I need a billionaire.
Yeah, well, hey, you can come watch one.
Give me a call when you're doing your next billionaire stuff, okay?
That's why I pretend to be one. Because I get the pie without.
Isn't that annoying? Always pretend to be one and not to be one in real life?
I feel like life would be very stressful if you were a billionaire.
The amount of people, are you only training to be a billionaire for your later life?
Man, yeah, don't spoil the ending.
That's
quite a secret.
Okay, you want to do a cliffhanger. Okay, I understand.
That's what I've been programmed. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I was wondering if you play every time kind of same role, CEO, but you, is that fulfilling?
Mm. Absolutely. It's kind of what I touched on before. I find the subtle variation within each. And if it's not on the page, meaning if the script does not detail that difference, then it's up to me, my artistry, to create that difference. And you also have a different dynamic with different people. For example, you know, just because these actress names come to mind, how I behave with Alicia for Heiress Blacklisted will be different for how I work with TJ from Daddy's Best Friend, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that creates its own special existence.
What keeps you motivated doing verticals?
Yeah. And I honestly, I love it. I love to act. That's the whole thing. It doesn't become a bore. It's not a chore. If it ever did, then I'd stop.
What's the alternative?
Strip dancing, lap dancing, Magic Mike.
Going back to
available
going,
Thursday.
Going to the going to the BDSM stuff. Pole dancing or stuff.
That's it. I'll be a fluffer on a BDSM show. Yeah, how about that? Like, Alex, we don't actually need fluffing. It's like, oh, really? Oh,
you don't know that you need it, but I tell you that you need it.
God.
I don't want to think about it. No.
We'll move on. We'll move on from that.
Absolutely. it couldn't get any worse. Oh shit. No, Alex, at the
bag,
end.
Mask. Yeah, there's our...
as I said to you at the end, I'm asking always the 5-question quickie.
Okay.
First question is always, because I love to cook and I published a cookbook, that's the reason why I'm asking always people about their favorite dish. I judge people by food, you know. Are you the Asian food guy now that you are so many times in China?
I wouldn't say now. I feel like I've always had a palate for it. My favorite dish is a hot stone bibimbap, which is
It's a
a
what?
Korean bibimbap.
Bibimbap.
It's a Korean dish. It's very homely and kind of easy to make, but when it's on the hot stone, it's just got rice, vegetables, beef, and egg cracked on top, bit of hot sauce. You stir it all up. It's just a hearty, feel good, delicious meal.
Soul food.
So yeah, soul food. There you go.
That's good. Soul food is every time needed. I think some recipes in my cookbook are really soul food. As you said, easy made, not so super complicated, but the
That's it.
taste of it when you're eating it,
Yeah.
you're so comfortable and happy and have really great. Some of them are food from or dishes from my childhood. And when you're eating it, you have totally fallen back to your childhood and knowing
Yeah.
exactly the moment where you're sitting at the table at your parents' house and eating this. You know that exactly.
Nostalgia.
The thing is, some people cannot understand why food can make happy. And for me, food can make happy, of course, because of the taste, but otherwise, mostly because of the memories you are having because of the taste. So
Yeah,
that's
defensive.
more, yeah, I think that's more the combination of both why it's called soul food.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what's your favorite music and favorite song? What puts you in a good mood? Are you the type of actor? I heard this a few times. Some of the actors have kind of playlists for the characters they are having to dive in. Do you have this also?
That's an interesting approach. I mean, I love music, but I don't actually necessarily use it so much for like preparation.
Okay.
Although maybe I then wonder, not that it's not useful, I think it absolutely is, but I feel like I intuitively have songs pop into my head when I'm in something. So it's more an instinctual thing instead of going through and curating like, oh, I need like a full funky beat here. One will just come. But yeah.
So what kind of
Music that I
music
like.
style?
Yeah, I was just gonna say a song that came to mind just then is Freak by George Michael. I love that track.
Oh, George Michael is great.
He's great, isn't he? Yeah. Great vibe.
Oh,
Sexy
yes.
vibe.
George Michael was always, I thought, kind of mystery in the person he is, but his music is always great.
Yeah, I like it.
And what kind of comfort movie do you have? What movie, classic one, lately one, I don't know. What kind of movie got you in your attention so badly, and you said, oh, I want to rewatch this because it's really good.
The Thing, 1982, John Carpenter. Love that movie. Adore it. If people get it, I'm like, yeah, you're a vibe.
Yeah.
I know for my mom, she wouldn't like that movie just because she's like, this is too disgusting with all the effects, but it's so immersive. It just takes you there. You're like, yes, oh my God. The atmosphere, Kurt Russell. It's just great.
Thing. I'm not sure if I've ever saw it.
Now you will. Now you will. Get ready. It's confronting. Yes,
You
visually.
think I like it?
I think you have the darkness to appreciate it. And I mean that in a you've got a great sense of humor. Nice save, Alex.
I'm not sure about if it's a nice save yet.
No, absolutely. You have to
You know, you recently picked up a few plus points in this last hour, but the ice is getting thinner, Alex. The
I meant that you have a diverse range of
on. Don't make it worse. Don't make it worse. Keep it. Don't make it worse.
the
Oh, holy shit.
mouth.
Last two questions. Serious for two questions, serious, please.
Okay.
If I would come up to you and say, Alex, listen, I want to start watching Verticals, which one of yours should I definitely have watched?
Okay. I think an easy choice is Heiress Blacklisted Her Husband. It's my most popular. It's quintessential. It has the classic archetype. And I think it's just executed very well. I don't see too much weakness in that show, if any at all. And I'm proud that it found an audience. Another one, I would say I like one that hasn't actually had too much attention, but hit the jackpot. My broke chef husband is a billionaire. Titled a lot to do with,
Oh, is it
but
where you were at the restaurant? Where you were the cook? I saw this one. All
yeah.
right.
I like that one because it's just. It didn't go too far into the genre. It
Yeah.
was just an easy story to watch, entertaining and grounded. And I appreciate
Can
that.
you cook, by the way?
Oh, the battery's dying on the phone right now.
I don't understand you. I can't hear you. No, because I
basically.
spoke to a lot of people which who have done cooking vertical,
Oh yeah.
they cannot cook.
They cannot cook themselves. Sorry, my phone actually did just hit the battery, so I'm just getting some charge. Literally, I can cook, but it's just very basic stuff. So I like to do vegetables and chicken, fish, just very simple stuff.
To survive,
Yeah,
you mean.
exactly.
Okay,
Exactly.
that's enough. It's more than some others can do. So,
Oh, good. Good.
I spoke, for example, to Hunter Cole, who recently had also a cooking show, and he
Oh, yeah.
told me that his oven at his kitchen is fulfilled with clothes because he never uses it.
That's nutritious.
So you are totally good when you
All
say
right.
that
All
you know
right.
how to cook rice and stuff like that. So
Absolutely. Bok
you're
choy,
nearly
sweet
nearly a
potato.
star chef.
Oh, we'll fix that. I'll add a new
Income.
dish to the repertoire.
Why not? Last question for this episode. What kind of genre you want to see more or maybe new ones in the vertical space?
I've said this before, but I would love to do a Spartacus, Gladiator, Spartan themed show. You've seen Real Short, for example, branch out with a couple fantasy themed shows. I think if we took a more niche or more aggressive kind of approach to it, I don't know if that's the right word, but less of the fantasy feel good elements and made it a bit more gritty. I think that's the word I was looking for. Sorry. I'd
You
love to
know,
do
I
something like
would
that.
see you in a Western one, to be honest.
Oh, cowboy.
So
Sign me up.
this old classic one with saloon style, and
Yeah. I can see that.
I don't know why, but you kind of look alike,
That's it. Bit of Clint Eastwood.
cowboy Western stuff. Can you ride a horse?
Yeah. I actually have done for a short film, what, 12 years ago, but never since.
Yeah, but I think it's like riding a bicycle.
Yeah,
If
pick it
you,
up again, no problem.
I think so. So that would be an
Yeah.
issue, I think. Huh.
Yeah, I'd be
So we
down.
will see. Yeah, you know the Yeehaw stuff with saloon ladies and a sheriff one. They make violation sense or
Yeah.
violence.
Yes, absolutely. As you said, contextually, it makes
Yeah.
sense, and that's
And
key.
then you can train throwing the lasso and
Oh,
stuff.
yeah. And then I can do an Indiana Jones one.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely.
Be flexible. Or there you can playing a psychopath robbery type thief.
Yeah, let's do that.
Then you can combine it with the villain role.
That's right. Totally down for that.
No towel drop needed and no proposing.
Whoa. I didn't say that. Well, you were there. You have a towel drop.
How will you do a classic shower scene in a Western one?
You gotta wait and find out. Wait and find out, Michaela.
Huh.
It'd be good, end, but make it work.
In the end, you are the murderer. I understand.
That's it. That's how I get shot and killed, because I'm too busy doing towel drops. like, well, this guy keeps
Why you were proposing? Yeah. Shot in the shot in the back.
Exactly. And then
or shot in the head and you are falling.
That's grim.
I want to do you. That in yeah. a movie. I want to shoot
in real
someone.
Life. Okay, yeah.
No, not in real life. I'm not so violent in private. No, I think. Geez. I think, but I know how to use a gun.
That's great.
I'm a mystery hunting lady, you know.
Yeah. Full of skills, Michaela.
No one expecting that. But the lovey-dovey hunting lady is.
That's it. She's one to look out for.
We could be a type of Bonnie and Clyde, Alex. You know that?
I love that. Let's shoot that in Germany, eh? That'd be fun. German Western.
We have really great shooting locations here, really.
Mm.
And there are a lot of shootings here in Germany. For example, I spoke with John Henry Richardson. You know him?
He was one of my coaches in LA back in the day. I loved
it. So you know him. He did a lot of film shooting in Germany, he told me.
Oh, nice.
And since he had been in Germany, he only loves the German beer, nothing anymore.
Ah.
So,
excellent.
Yeah. No, Germany. I will check that Germany will pop up for shooting locations. And as I said, I will win the lottery jackpot. That we have enough money to do the criminal vertical series. maybe there isn't any money left, but the Western we cannot shoot here in Germany. We don't have Western locations here.
We'll figure something out.
Mexico?
Easy.
Mexico?
Already solved it already. Solved it already.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Done. Thank you, Alex, a lot for your time for this episode with kind of... let's call it special effects.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michaela. Thank you so much for having me, and an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Also, I hope that it will be the last time that we spoke to each other.
Definitely.
And have a nice evening. Yeah, evening.
Dinner time.
You're cooking now?
I will be shortly.
So have a nice day. Good luck for the upcoming projects. And would love to see you here in Europe shooting.
Absolutely.
And let me know when you are ready for the Bonnie and Clyde stuff, you know?
You'll be the first to know, Michaela. Honestly, a pleasure chatting with you. And we'll keep in touch and get another one going soon.
Yeah.
And all the best with your injury.
Shh. We won't tell you. Shh.
Okay.
It's all fine.
It's all good.
Thank you, Alex. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Michaela. Thank you.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.